السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وعلو وسمو أسمائه وصفاته وجزيل نعمائه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد الصادق الأمين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله من أزواجه وذرياته وأهله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اكتبنا منهم يا رب. Of the most remarkable fruits generated by the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which the qalb of the human being and of the mu'min is to be most adorned with, the ultimate quest of the seekers of peace and of happiness, Tawheedullah Azza wa Jal. Of the fruits of that Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is At-Tawakkul. At-Tawakkul, amongst many other virtues, is one that perhaps most of us human beings and believers perhaps know only the meaning of it intellectually, and rarely perhaps do we experience it and do we have a taste of it with our qulub. It should not be surprising to acknowledge this, since man and women whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored greatly, speaking on the haqiqa of tawakkul, Abu Sulaiman al-Darani rahimahullah ta'ala is related to have said to one of his most remarkable students and sahib, Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari rahmahullah ta'ala wa radhi anhu, he tells him, Ya Ahmad, inna turuq al-akhirati kathira wa inna shaykhaka arifun bikathirin minha illa hadha at-tawakkul al-mubarak fa inni ma shamantu minhu raiha. Look at this remarkable statement, which should tell us a lot. He says to him, Ya Ahmad, the paths, the stations, and the paths to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave your shaykh, that is, he's speaking of himself, the knowledge, the ma'rifah, not the knowledge intellectual, but the knowledge with experience of the qalb. عَارِفٌ بِكَثِيرٍ مِّنْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave your shaykh the ma'rifah of many of those stations and those avenues. He said, except this most blessed tawakkul, I am yet to smell of it anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers to have tawakkul. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And on Allah, in Allah have tawakkul if you truly are faithful, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says also in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And he who lives in tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah suffices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. It suffices with Allah as a wakil, and we shall shortly speak about the meaning of this word. And wakil, kafa billahi wakila, says he subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word tawakkul is the affirmation of the state of what we translate usually of reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But linguistically in Arabic language we say a wakil is a person whom we assign and appoint to take care on our behalf by our authority whatever type of affairs we assigned him or her. Something like a power of attorney. And therefore in the Arabic language, actually, an attorney is called the wakil. Because you give the resolution of your concern, of your problem, to that wakil, to that attorney. You trust them fully. You pick, you choose a person who is going to deliver that trust, who is going to do the job as you would like it to be done. So he becomes your wakil, your attorney, or you are doing a trade and you have a wakil to represent you and you give them the power of attorney to transact and to trade in your affairs freely. So that's your wakil. And usually we choose a wakil whom we trust and who has the capacity and the ability to perform to the best imaginable and practical way that we know of. So at-tawakkul is the state of, in other words, acknowledging and giving up our affairs to be run for us, for our benefit, by someone else. And in this case, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul. That's what it means. I give up and I give all my affairs to be run for me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices as a wakil. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And therefore it is related that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَقْوَى النَّاسِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَقْوَى النَّاسِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Anyone who rejoices to being the strongest person in society with people, then let him or her have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, it's correct, isn't it? If we give our affairs to be run by us, managed by us, taken care for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is all-knowing, all-possessing, all-powerful, all wise, then who besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a desirable wakil? So if we did that, then our affairs are run most perfectly, and therefore we will be strongest. No doubt those who have tasted what tawakkul means do feel safest and do feel most secure and do feel strongest and do feel richest, regardless of what may appear in the outside. And tawakkul is a state of the qalb, isn't it? Tawakkul is a state of the qalb, that burst of full reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes from full knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of all things, and nothing in this universe, animate or inanimate, material or immaterial, physical or spiritual, or intellectual, none of that moves or is still remains still without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who know this, those who know that, look at my hands again. Those who know this, not know this, those who know that have tawakkul. And they simply lay themselves down in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of the tadbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in front of the tadbir, the administration and the management of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من سره أن يكون أقوى الناس فليتوكل على الله. وصح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث, part of which he speaks about believers on the day of judgment who will not be held to account at all by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without حساب يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب 70,000 in one batch who enter Jannah on the day of judgment, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was made to see that in a vision. Related this text, authenticated by many ulama. And more of those, 70,000, 70,000 either means literally 70,000 or a great multitude of them who will be entered Jannah without hisab, without reckoning at all, without having to pass through the questioning and the records and what they contain, directly to Jannah. Who are they? At the end, الَّذِينَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ لَا يَكْتَوُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَلَا يَعْتَافُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. These are those who show, who live in tawakkul on their Lord, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَكْتَوُونَ الْكَيْ, you know what الْكَيْ means in the Arabic language. Anyone knows what الْكَيْ means? No. الْكَيْ لَا يَكْتَوُونَ is الْكَيْ. When you use usually, pardon? Yeah. Well, in the colloquial Egyptian and Syrian and et cetera, they say kay, and Lebanese say kay, that is when you iron your clothes, kay. Because you're using fire to do that. And kay is a practice in the old world, and even nowadays sometimes. You leave that as a last recourse to cure something. A break in your bones or something swelling or something or an ankle that is sprained or so, you use fire. There is some way to do that, to use fire, and it is actually very effective. They have ways to do that. I remember when I was in my teens, I sprained my ankle. It was very bad. It was swollen in those days, you know. Didn't like to go to the doctors at all. My grandmother was with us, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I was in my teens, and she said, would you mind that I do kay? At that time, subhanAllah, somehow something was good in the qalb. I said, yes, grandma. And she heated the knife. The knife, red hot, until it is red hot. Takes it out of the fire, red hot. And then on that part that is sprained, it's really swollen, she puts some oil. And then she starts with some artful way, Bismillah, and then she started striking with that knife, like that. And then, Subhanallah, minutes later, it was all gone. That is key, and there are many ways to do key with fire. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-ladina la yaktawun." They do not use key, this type of healing approach. لا يكتوون ولا يتطيرون. الطيارة, you know what a طيارة is? Huh? Something like that. That is to believe in omens. To believe in omens, or to attach oneself to omen, bad omens. This is a bad omen, black cat crossing in front of you, 7 years of bad luck. Mirror broken, 7 years of bad luck. You know, cat crosses the front of you, something bad is going to happen to you. You know, that's when Surah Yasin, Inna tatayyarna bikum la illam tantahu lanarjumannakum. So when these messengers came to these people, I say, Inna tatayyarna bikum. You look like a bad omen. Not good for us. Huh? الطيارة لا يتطيرون. Those who don't believe in these things and don't hold them to be true and don't care about them. لا يتطيرون ولا يسترقون. And الرقية, you know what الرقية is, again another means by which people heal themselves, namely by something you write. And some of it is shirk. It is haram, totally haram, of course. And later on, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave permission for those who want to do ruqya under certain conditions, that it doesn't contain anything that is shirk. Ruqya is well established indeed. So that al-istirqa, that is to seek ruqya, to seek cure or healing by ruqya. وَلَا يَسْتَرْخُونَ. And in one variance related by Imam Ahmad, authenticated by some ulama, وَلَا يَعْتَافُونَ. Ya'tafun is, in the tafsir, ya'tafa is to take provision with you in your trip. To take sustenance and provision for you in a journey. وَلَا يَعْتَافُونَ. Those who don't do that either. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And upon their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have tawakkul. They have him as a wakil, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These will enter Jannah without hisab. And tawakkul reaches its haqiqa indeed as an expression of powerful tawheed inside of the qalb of the mu'min. This is a station, maqam. At-tawakkul is one of the highest maqamat, stations in the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most human beings and most believers perhaps, we have little of tawakkul. We must have some tawakkul, otherwise, wal'ayadu billah, we're in very serious trouble. But let's look at ourselves. Do we have the least tawakkul? As we shall learn to see in detail what that tawakkul means and is. So tawakkul is a state of qalb. Is in a state of your qalb, inside of you. Because what you do outside counts, but does not count much relative to what you have in your qalb. And the state of tawakkul requires the following. عدم إظهار الإنزعاج. عدم إظهار الإنزعاج إلى الأسباب مع شدة الفاقة إليها. وترك السكون عدم ترك السكون أو حقيقة السكون إلى غير الله سبحانه وتعالى إلى غير الحق مع الوقوف عليها أي على الأسباب. What does this mean? First part is ترك الإنزعاج أو عدم الإنزعاج إلى الأسباب مع شدة الفاقة إليها. That is, assume we want to enter a transaction or something that we want to do, which requires that we plan for it, and we have to do this and do that, requires certain means and certain methods and certain causes. And I want that, and I need badly to attain that thing. And I need badly those needs and those asbab. With my need being so dire, I have such a dire need to those asbab, to those means, but I do not feel about them, about their absence for the attainment of my goal, I do not feel munza'ij. I do not feel restless. I do not feel uncomfortable. I do not feel agitated. Munza'ij is the opposite of calm and quiet and patient and still. A powerful, dire need to the seven to attain something that I need. With that need, with that powerful need in me, I do not feel munza'ij. عدم الإظهار. إظهار الإنزعاج. الإنزعاج حال داخلي أولا قبل أن يكون خارجيا. أليس كذلك؟ الإنزعاج is an internal state before it becomes an external state. Why is it true? Because if I have the ilm, and the ilm that Allah has command over everything and control over all the atoms, physical and spiritual and mental and all of the universe and all motions of the hearts of man and of the hands of man and of the means of man, if he is the creator of cause and the creator of effect and the creator of the relationship between cause and effect, in the absence of that, I shouldn't be munza'ij. Second, inshallah. Second, before I come to it. Second is the opposite. Is عدم ترك حقيقة السكون إلى الحق سبحانه وتعالى مع الوقوف عليها. أي مع الوقوف على الأسباب. Now assume the opposite scenario is I have all the means that I need to attain my goal, my legitimate goal. All the means and all the causes are set and the system is set, ready to go, in motion. And all of them done. Everything that can be done. Assume asbab, intellectual, financial, social, political, depending on what situation I am in. Any situation. Situations are almost infinite to enumerate. I have all what I need. Tawakkul requires that there is not a change in me about the sukoon, the very peaceful comfort in my heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me what I need. That would be normally the outcome of having gone through those means and those causes. In other words, the fact that I have all of that should not change my peaceful comfort that Allah is the one who will give me, not my asbab. Assume I didn't have any sabab, huh? How was my heart? And then now I have them all, how is my heart? If my heart does not change its attachment, that's reliance, we say reliance. If my heart doesn't change its original sukoon, its original feeling of serenity and peace towards Allah in the absence of causes and means, when I have the causes and means, all of them. That's tawakkul. In the absence of that, to whatever degree, there is an absence to a similar degree of tawakkul in me. And therefore, of course, as they say, rahmahullah ta'ala, to provide for the external means to achieve something legitimate externally is not contradictory with tawakkul. Why? Because of what we just mentioned. Tawakkul is a state of the qalb, and what I do externally is external, and they are two disjunct sets. The set of external and the set of internal. My qalb is not my jawarih. So if my jawarih do action, that doesn't mean I don't have tawakkul, because the tawakkul has nothing to do with external reality, but with the inner dimensions of myself, with my qalb, of my qalb. So I could do all the things externally outside because I have so much means and so on, and I feel comfortable. But when I don't have them anymore, I feel crushed and uncomfortable. That's exactly because I don't have tawakkul. That's exactly because I don't have tawakkul. Again, this example that has become very realistic, that I have mentioned many times to myself, for Allah, and then to you, my brothers and sisters, the recent market crash, right? People who relied on their abilities, on their millions, Muslims and others. Security because of the means available. And then once that didn't work, then the crush was so powerful in the hearts, because there was in the heart there was no Allah Azza wa Jal basically, only the means. And when those ropes were cut, free fall. The heart collapses onto itself. It's a shell. Soon crushes. Because the tawakkul was not on Allah. The tawakkul was on the means, the asbab. And therefore they say, Imam al-Junayd say, التوكل ليس التوكل الكسب أو عدم الكسب. ليس التوكل الكسب أو عدم الكسب. وإنما التوكل سكون القلب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. توكل is not whether we work to earn or we don't work to earn. If I don't work, I'm متوكل. No. If I work, I'm متوكل. No. توكل is, again, the state of serenity of the قلب with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. In other words, that expression we were using, the degree of attachment of our qalb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and detachment from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more attachments we have to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the less tawakkul we shall experience when it comes really time for the test. And that's why يقولون التوكل طرح البدن في العبودية وتعلق القلب بالربوبية. سبحان الله. التوكل طرح البدن في العبودية. طرح البدن في العبودية وتعلق القلب في الربوبية. توكل is the throwing the external person, the body, in ubudiyya. And what does ubudiyya mean? It means we do, we act, we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the, as the shara requires externally. We do that. And ubudiyya, as we have, remember, talked about before, tawheedul ubudiyya, is that when the individual, when the abd, obeys practically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follows the ahkam of shara as exact as they are, and وَتَعَلُّقُ الْقَلْبِ بِالْرُّبُوبِيَّةِ or فِي الْرُّبُوبِيَّةِ تَعَلُّقُ الْقَلْبِ بِالْرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. And the qalb, however, the internal being, the qalb of the individual, the heart, is attached to the rububiyyah. And what does tawheed al-rububiyyah tell us? How do we sometimes, how can we sometimes summarize that? No? Aynan? What is the statement? Naam? Naam? Ay? Wa ma lam yasha' lam yakun. Ma sha'a Allahu kan, wa ma lam yasha' lam yakun. Allah, the equation of peace. You want peace? This is where it lies. Rububiyyah, tawheed al-rububiyyah can be summed up in one word, as we have said before. ما شاء الله كان وما لم يشأ لم يكن. What Allah wills will be, what Allah does not will not be. القلب إذا تعلق بهذه الحقيقة. The qalb, if it attaches itself to this truth, all peace follows. Qalb is attached that way, and the external jawarih are in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The jawarih are in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qalb is living in the realm of rububiyyah. That is true tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why that's certainly part of the very fundamental belief in Al-Qadha wa Al-Qadr. Fundamental belief in Al-Qadha wa Al-Qadr. That Iman in Qadha wa Al-Qadr will not be fulfilled. And consequently, as other texts tell us, that the sweetness of Iman will not be enjoyed and experienced until حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أَنَّمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُلْ يُخْطَأَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُلْ يُصِيبَكَ. Until you fully realize and interiorize and live that the following, that which befalls you is not meant, was not meant to miss you. That which occurs to you and around you and in the world, if it happens, it was meant to happen. And if it doesn't happen and it missed you or it missed someone else, it was meant to miss you and miss someone else. The haqiqah of tawakkul, again, will not be realized. Even the beginning of the past of tawakkul will not be attained by us, except through perhaps words, if this is not understood, if this is not first attained. And they say, you say, tawakkul to Allah, tawakkul to Allah, and you are a liar. إذا توكلت على الله لو توكلت على الله لا رضيت بما فعل الله. You say توكلت على الله توكلت على الله and you're a liar. I think it was Dhunnun al-Masri who said that, رحمه الله تعالى. If you truly had توكل on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have been pleased and satisfied with what He does. Of comfortable things or uncomfortable things to you or around you. And tawakkul cannot be attained unless this truth is realized. When I say atawakkal ala Allah, let's say, and I train myself for that purpose with so many ways, in particular what we are learning here, and the realization of this fact, at least intellectually, and time for khalwa in order to make sense out of this, in order to absorb it, in order to interiorize it and ready for it in some simple situations. So if I am in that tawakkul and I'm coming to a situation and I say tawakkal to Allah, and sometimes it means I want to get what I want. Tawakkal to Allah, meaning if it happens the way I want it to happen, the way I like it. And if it doesn't happen, then I'm angry. And I'm angry and violent and agitated and restless and terribly scared to the extent of suicidal tendencies or less depression or anxiety or distress. Fear, terrible fear that continues there as long as that which I want I didn't attain. That's not tawakkul. Tawakkul assumes there is something I want. And I do what I can. In obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Violating no norm of morality or of decency or of legality. That is not disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, if I obtain what I like, I say, Alhamdulillah. I didn't obtain it because of my means. I never relied on them anyways. My tawakkul was not on them. If they did not bear fruits, I'm not going to collapse. Because I was not attaching my heart to that rope. You know, it came to my mind. What is those jumpers from? What do they call them? The rope they attach themselves. Bungee jumpers. Bungee jumpers. Before he jumps, nowadays before she jumps, what does he first do? Attach himself to the rope. To the rope. Then goes. It doesn't matter because he's attached to the rope. The rope. If all ropes break, that one doesn't break. Actually, tawakkul is just like that. Just jump with the rope. Whatever happens, you will always be safe, regardless of whether the appearance of it is comfortable or uncomfortable. So tawakkul means if I got what I desired, that's exactly what I desired. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it. If I did not get what I desired, and maybe I got the opposite of it, somebody beat me up instead, then I say still, Alhamdulillah. I don't change, Alhamdulillah. If that happened, it's because Allah wanted that for me, and I should be feeling, Subhanallah, Allah chose this for me. It must be better for me. Because that which has happened would not have happened without His will and knowledge. But because we rarely interiorize this fact of qada and qadar and this fact of rububiyyah, we are easily crushed when something doesn't happen the way we anticipate it to be. You do your best when you came through the customs, especially these days after September 11th. Yani many Muslims have a hard time. But Alhamdulillah, some custom people are very, very nice. Why are they nice? Who made them nice?
Allah.
So, you go from here, Alhamdulillah, I didn't hurt anybody, I didn't do anything unjust, anything wrong. And I go, let them do what they want to do. After that, they keep me 7 hours, 7 years. Really, you have to be, that's the tawakkul. 7 years without my family knowing. Alhamdulillah. That's tawakkul. Everything goes fine. Alhamdulillah. Nothing. nothing changes. That's haqiqat tawakkul. Nothing. And you stand with your body still, your qalb is even more still. Whatever happens, the mutawakkil is the strongest woman or man. Because inside, nothing agitates him or her with that haqiqah of tawakkul. Arhamukallah, my dear brothers and sisters. And this tawakkul is lacking amongst us, Muslims, teachers and scholars and students and du'at, in all different fields. And the absence of that is indicative of the absence of enough tawheed, and therefore of more problems, and much problems, and much wrongdoing on our parts, to ourselves and to others. Because when you're mutawakkil, the more tawakkul you have, the calmer you are. The less tawakkul we have, because it's less tawheed anyways, the more agitated we are and restless. And in that state of restlessness, sometimes, that's what human beings are, we may respond in ways that are unwise and unproductive and hurtful. Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, rahimahullah ta'ala, was in the Haram of Mecca, in accordance to this report. And he observed a man basically, alhamdulillah, Mujawir al-Masjid al-Haram, staying all the time in Masjid al-Haram for Salah, for Ibadah, because of the great, alhamdulillah, the great spiritual value in being in the Haram, doing Ibadah in the Haram. And he noticed that he was always next to Zamzam water, the well of Zamzam. In those days, real well, from, you have to pick water with the rope and so on. And that he actually subsisted on water of Zamzam only. Only, no food except water of Zamzam. As a matter of fact, water of Zamzam is food. Subhanallah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. And many salihun have experienced that, and they remain days and days fasting, breaking fast for days, even into contemporary times. Breaking their fast only every day with Zamzam water. طعام طعم وشفاء سقم, as Rasulullah said. So he noted that many days he was there and sitting there, and then one day Abu Sulaiman rahimahullah ta'ala approaches him and says to him after the salam, he says to him, this is all you're sustaining yourself from? He says yes. And he was always there. And then he says to him, send him a message. What happens to you if إِذَا غَارَتْ زَمْزَمْ, إِذَا غَارَتْ زَمْزَمْ مِنَ الْغَوْرِ, if that is the well would collapse and would go deep, and it would be, the water would be unreachable. He stood up and he says to him, he kissed his head and he said, أَرْشَدْتَنِي جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, you have indeed guided me, may Allah reward you. كُنْتُ لِهَذَا الْيَوْمِ إِذًا أَعْبُدُ زَمْزَمْ. He said to him, then, subhanAllah, now I realize actually I was worshipping Zamzam. Do you see the point? That's a means. Zamzam is a means for satisfying your hunger or your thirst. So you're always there. That's the only means. until you believe that there's the only means without which can't go anymore. I don't have any other means except this one. And that's a form of tawakkul, not on Allah, but on the means. So that's why he said, may Allah reward you, kissed his hand. Now I realize I was worshipping Zamzam. In other words, I was worshipping the means. I was relying, my fiqh was on Zamzam, not on the God of Zamzam. What happens if Zamzam disappears? You are so attached to that now that there was not genuine tawakkul. The attachment, the genuine attachment was to the means itself. So, and of course he intended to be free from the attachments to the means. That's why he was doing what he was doing in the first place. Subhanallah. Another beautiful story that is related. Huh? Abu Sulaiman Ad-Darani. This story is related, and the man to whom it happened is by the name of Abu Ya'qub al-Aqta. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, again, I was in Mecca in the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, harasaha Allah, may Allah guard Mecca and the haram. And he said, of course, he was living in tawakkul, not relying on causes. And he said, after 10 days, nothing to eat, nothing was provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I felt very weak after 10 days. This is Abid Saleh. He said, I felt very weak. And I had this urge to go out and look for something in the roads. So I did leave the haram. And I went to a wadi. A wadi is like, you know, what is it, when you have a stream, wide stream of water that dries out in the summer. It becomes like a wadi. Huh? What was that?
Second valley.
Yeah, valley could be a wadi between two mountains. But in this case, wadi in Mecca is, you know,
a dry bed
of a river, of a stream. So he went and he said, and I looked and I found something like lift. You know what lift is? No?
Turnip,
something like wild turnip, which is bitter, etc. So I picked it up, and then I picked it up, and a voice from within me, he said, from within me. So when I picked it up, I felt wahsha. I felt, yani, there's something wrong inside of me. It's like when you feel this, that painful solitude, you know, there's something wrong. This is not right what I did. And you feel a wahsha. And then something inside of me, you know, said that you've been hungry for 10 days and this is it? This is it? An almost rotten piece of turnip. So he said, I threw it back and I went back to the haram. As I sat, a man came, a Muslim man in the haram who looked non-Arab, coming from far, and he sat, laid down in front of me, something covered in some bag that they used to cover books in, put books in, carefully. And then he says, this is for you. And I said, why me? First of all, before opening it and before finding whatever is in it. Why me? He said, 10 days ago, listen, 10 days ago, I and other people were in the sea traveling. And then there was a storm and the ship was about to What do ships do in a storm? To sink, to break and sink. So he said, and we asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua that if He saves us, each one of us will give sadaqah fi sabilillah. These are people. Sadaqah fi sabilillah. So I, on my part, I said, this that was with me, I said, Ya Allah, I will give it to the first person I see in the haram, mujawir al-haram. The first person whom I see in the haram, in your haram, mujawir, staying there for ibadah, the first person that I see, I will give it to him. And you were the first person. He says then to him, open it. So he opened it, and he found tarts and cakes and almonds, and in those days, cubes of sugar, mashallah. He said, subhanallah. Well wrapped, nice gift. So I picked one handful of this and one handful of that, and I said, please keep the rest as a gift from me. I accept it. Keep it as a gift from me for others and for the children. Allah. And then I took that, and inside of me I said, subhanallah, Ya Aba Yaqub, your rizq was coming to you, was traveling to you for the past 10 days. And 10 days ago he began his dua, and that day was the 10th day when he began, and the 10th day, that day the storm took place, the rizq was meant to come. 10 days later he feels hungry, there is nothing to eat, he goes out, he comes back, and that happens. Your rizq was searching for you for 10 days, Ya Abu Yaqub, and you hastened. Subhanallah. That's why it is said that the rizq of the individual, the rizq, the provision, the sustenance of every abd, seeks him more than he seeks rizq. That your rizq, your allotted part to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeks you more than you seek it. Bishr al-Hafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, very famous name in this subhanAllah, in this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of special awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think I told you about him yesterday, about Imam Ahmad, what he said about him. Did I? No? I think I mentioned something. Anyways. Maybe I had done... Sometimes I lose track of time and sometimes of space. Forgive me. So, he had some people come in from Sham. Sham at that time, Syria, Palestine, and all of that. Lebanon, Jordan, all of that was Sham. And they came to visit him, alhamdulillah. They entered and they said, Salaamu alaikum, Ya Shaykh. We came to visit you, alhamdulillah, to see how you're doing. Jazakum Allah khair, shakar Allahu lakum. And he said, and they said, he said, what would you like? He said, we're going to Hajj and we would like to go with you. We would like your sohbah. He said to them, maybe, in other words, maybe you don't want my sahaba. If you have to go with me, you have to go with me without that. You don't take any provision. You don't ask anyone. Mm-hmm. If anyone gives you anything, you don't accept it. No. They said to him, the first one, we can go without that. The second one, alhamdulillah, I think we can. So they were also good people, righteous people. We think we can. That was not asking a person. But the third one, we don't think we can. If someone then voluntarily gives us, then we don't think we are going to reject that, especially depending on how long their need would have been. Then he told them, then you went out not in tawakkul on Allah, but in tawakkul on the Zad of the Hujjaj. Then your tawakkul was on the on the provision of the pilgrims themselves. Because on the way, there will be many pilgrims in Ari Valley traveling, and on the way, maybe some people will see them and will offer them something. So he said, probably that's what you kept in mind. So your tawakkul was not on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on a probable means.
No.
Tawakkul. Because tawakkul is a state of the qalb, istishraful qalb. Istishraful qalb. Some people may not, we may not ask, but our hearts are asking, or waiting, when? Please, if he does it, I'll be great. So that's istishrafun bil qalb. Tawakkul. How was that, two stories or three? Was three? Three. What was the first one? Zamzam, and the second one? Abu Yaqub, and the third one is Bishr al-Haris. So it's three. I'm not the only one, huh? And the fourth one, anyone have heard of Ibrahim al-Khawas, rahimahullah wa rabi'an? Ibrahim al-Khawas, yudrabu bihi al-mathal fi al-tawakkul. Ibrahim al-Khawas, rahimahullah ta'ala. All of these, alhamdulillah, you find them in the works of our ulama who recorded their some of their life stories or events in their lives, like Sifatul Safwan, and many other works like Hilyatul Awliya. All of these are there. And Taba'an Risal al Imam al Qushayri, and many more. Including sometimes in the biographies of reporters of hadith by Imam Zahabi and by Al-Asqalani and others, some of these biographies are there. Some of them were ulama, communicators of hadith or fuqaha. So we have, they tell you of both dimensions of their lives. Ibrahim al-Khawas is yudrabu bihi al-mathal fi al-tawakkul. He used to be the beauty of the mutawakkilun amongst the early period, rahimahumullah ta'ala jami'an. So Umar ibn Sinan relates that Ibrahim al-Khawas, when they passed by us, used to travel long distances, long times alone, without any zad, without anything. Some of these, subhanAllah, some of these karamat are well documented. And Umar ibn Sinan said, Ibrahim al-Khawas passed by our town, and he was in the masjid, so we sat around him and we asked him. He knew him apparently, maybe was of his ashab or kada, and he told him, tell us of the strangest thing, if any, that happened to you in your journeys. SubhanAllah, listen to this. Anyone of you knows Al-Khadr? You know Al-Khadr? Anyone who doesn't know Al-Khadr, raise your hand. Many, mashallah. Well, Al-Khadr, well, you know the story of Musa alayhi salam? Al-Khadr, actually. Yes. Al-Khadr is... So, you know Al-Khadr? Okay. All right. That's fine. So that's the same one. Alhamdulillah, I don't have them too. And you know, there are two theories about that. Amongst the ulama, who have debated the answer to that question. There are those who say he is still living. And he will continue to live until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills or takes the end of times. And there are some human beings and some awliya and some people who are aware of his existence, and sometimes he appears to them. And this discourse is a discourse not only by... This is not the discourse of charlatans. This is a discourse undertaken by great ulama of Sharia. The likes later of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and even before Zahabi and Suyuti and all of them. There is an opinion that says he's still living, and there are, and part of the proof that they present, in addition to some many, many texts that are prophetic, that many ulama argue that they are da'if texts, most of them, if not all of them, they say, and also experiences of people of taqwa and of wara who have given reports of encounters with al-Khadr. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Some ulama say this, some ulama say that. Those who have experienced something have, as a matter of fact, been very angry sometimes at some of their students in learning fiqh al-Aghribalik, scholars themselves who heard that they don't believe in that. And one time, I forgot who it was, Sheikh Rahmahullah Ta'ala, scholar of great repute, and he heard that one of his, another scholar, to become later of great repute, said that we don't think we believe in that, and he was angry at them, and they knew of his experience and of his ilm ila rivalik, and then when they saw that, they said, Rahmahullah Ta'ala, we recant. Yes, ya Sheikh, please. Be pleased with us. We believe. And these are fuqaha. I forgot the names. Allah Ta'ala, there's a book in which all of this is summarized by Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great encyclopedic scholar and memory of Islam, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, on Al-Khadr, which is the title. It's a booklet filled with texts on both sides and the arguments, and he finally comes with his own argument at the end, rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-Qawl al-Kadha fi al-Khadr. I'll remember it later. So it's a book on al-Khadr, the question of whether al-Khadr is living or not, by Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Anyway, so Ibrahim al-Khawas says to them, strangest thing, because they asked, he didn't say the strangest thing. He said, I was in my journey alone in the Salah, on Tawakkul. Then I met Al-Khadr. And Al-Khadr requested my company, my Suhba. After a while, I sought apology and I left him. Why? لأنني خشيت أن يفسد علي توكلي بسكوني إليه. Khadr is not just anyone. Khadr is من أقرب المقربين إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. A very, very special عبد of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Endowed with such qualities for those who have evidence of that. من أولياء الله المقربين, very special, who lived with Musa, إلى ذلك. And he said, then he requested my company, and I had to pull away from his company because I was afraid that my tawakkul would be spoiled by my heart feeling comfort with his presence. Wow. Therefore, I would be relying on what? On Al-Khadr, rather than on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Al-Khadr would be my zad. What is better than being in the company of Al-Khadr? Being in the company of a Nabi, let's say. In the desert, would you like food? Would you like food if you are with a Nabi in the desert? You're thinking about it? Yeah, you're honest. I don't want food. It will make tawakkul very easy on me. Rasulullah is with me, I die. Don't care. I die of hunger or of what? When if Rasulullah is with me, bring me all the scorpions of the world, all the cobras of the world, and I'd be standing right there, wallahi al-azim, without fear. That's what my qalb right now feels. So to be with al-khadr is like, it's like that's your zad, that's it, your sustenance, your provision, your insecurities, your doubts are all gone. That's what makes us afraid. That's what makes us insecure. Our doubts. Huh? Our doubts about Allah. About His dominion. About His presence. About His knowledge. About His will. That He has governance over the atoms of the universe. About every motion and every lack of motion. Because there is that doubt. That's why we're afraid. That's why we're insecure. That's why we find these things crazy. But if we had that yaqeen, as though we are seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, and if you see Al-Khadr, that's it. But Allah doesn't make Al-Khadr shown and seen only to those who have reached yaqeen. Then He gives them the grace of some of His subhanahu wa ta'ala karamat if He wills. Because if the karamat come, the karamat don't change their yaqeen. It doesn't change their certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what, this is actually subhanallah, when I saw that and I put next to it two exclamation marks and a star about tawakkul. And then the last story, even more powerful. This probably you've heard of it before. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Nimrod and Namrud put him in the fire to be burned. And of course, to do that, you know how they used to do these things. Even in medieval Europe, they used to do that a lot. And we have still pictures of that and paintings of that in our Ivanic. They gather huge piles of wood and they put this human being in there in the little, and then they light the fire. When the fire was lit, Ibrahim was there in the fire before it reached him. Jibreel alayhi salam comes. Now, this is more than al-Khawas, Ibrahim al-Khawas. Jibreel comes to Jibreel, Allah. You know, there is a spot around the Kaaba that rare are those who know about it, I was told. When Jibreel came and led Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Salah, that's where he stood. Where Jibreel stood. There's a spot there, it was marked. And they removed it, probably because people started to take it as a means of worship itself. SubhanAllah, Jibreel came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the corners of the text asks him, Alaka haja? Alaka haja? Jibreel comes and asks Ibrahim, do you need anything? He's in the fire. Jibreel comes to whom? Do you need anything? Ibrahim alayhi salam responds, Amma ilayka fala. So, Amma ilayka fala. As to being in need of you? No. No. That moment, Ibrahim was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ana fi Allahi an al-khalqi wal-makhluqat. Literally. His qalb has died. been extinguished from any created presence. And therefore wouldn't see pain, wouldn't see harm, wouldn't see anything and anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that state, you are the mightiest, the strongest, the most powerful. And that's what he was. And that state, and then after that, said Allah to the fire, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Then Allah, the creator of cause and effect, fire burns. If there is fire, there is burn. This relationship between fire and burning, is it a created thing or a creator? It's a created thing. And Allah, the creator of cause and effect, and the relationship between them, said in that instance to the fire, Kuni bardan wa salama, be coolness and peace for Ibrahim. Tawakkul. Amma ilayka fala. Amma ilayka fala. Subhanallah. The ultimate tawakkul. As was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, also in many instances that many of you, I hope, have studied in his seerah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and have seen the extent of his tawakkul throughout those long 23 years of struggle. And he taught us both that we throw ourselves into the ubudiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do, and we attach our qulub to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did all of that so that we learn and we see that. We saw him using means. We saw him using means. But what we're not taught and we don't focus on in the lessons we learn from the seerah, you find, because we have ahwa sometimes to follow, and we have some objectives, we emphasize that aspect of means and preparation and cause and work and this and that. Fashion, the social fashion, the civilizational fashion that prevails in 20 years, and we begin to readjust all the time. And we emphasize that, but almost nothing is said about his tawakkul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the moving energy of all of that. He did work, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he was in the ghar, he did work. He did what he could, teaching us that we have to show ubudiyyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You shall always be ibad, and the abd works. The abd works. But he showed us also his tawakkul, the tawakkul of Allah. In the ghar, he did what he could do. With Abu Bakr. Then they arrived at the very mouth of the cave and stood there, and it led them to arrive to that spot. And Abu Bakr inside, radiallahu ta'ala, and as-siddiq al-mutawakkil, but not the same tawakkul as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, if they just look down, he whispered, they would see us. But what did he say to him? لا تحزن, as Allah records it in the Quran. Ya Aba Bakr, ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think of two? The third whom is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تحزن, do not grieve. Allah is that third one. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawakkul. Tawakkul. Peace. 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 اللهم اجعلنا من المتوكلين.
أمين.
اللهم اجعلنا من الموحدين المخلصين الصادقين. اللهم ارزقنا مما رزقت به عبادك الصالحين المكرمين المحبرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى طبعنا ولا إلى إرادتنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تكلنا إلى غيرك طرفة عين. يا الله, do not entrust us to any other than you, not even for a moment of a blink of an eye. اللهم اكلأنا كلاءة الوليد ولا تخلى عنا. يا الله, nurture us like an infant baby is nurtured that knows only the chest of his mama. Let us know only you. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.